Good morning, everyone. This is Ned O'Meara from domainer.com.au, and this is a podcast interview with Greg Brown from Achiever Domains. I'm here on the Gold Coast today visiting Greg, and this is the second time that I've met him in person, and it's always great to catch up with a fellow domain investor and someone who buys, believe it or not, even more domains than I do. So welcome, Greg. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Good. Good to see you.
Thank you for picking me up from the Narang train station today. And I'm hoping to get Greg to stop smoking soon because it's a very bad habit, Greg.
You're not the only one to tell me.
Greg, I know lots of people have asked me about Greg Brown, who's Greg, who's Achiever and stuff like that. So this is a great opportunity for listeners and readers of Domainer to get to know you a little bit better. How and when did you get started with domains?
Well, first buy would have been for the main use, but my background is in small business development, and a lot of the successes in small business was when we addressed marketing issues.
Yep.
And inevitably that led to online marketing, online presence. So I spent a lot of time researching in that area and looking at domain names and finally working out that good domain names had already been taken. Mm. But also working out that good functional domain names were available for registration. So initially I started registering around business interests and clients' business interests, names that were available, and then came across the aftermarkets and the drop markets, and the rest is history.
Fantastic. So was your first domain that you ever bought an AU domain?
I think so. I think it was browngj.com.au back in 2005 or somewhere six, somewhere around there.
Oh, fantastic. So look, just for the information of my readers and stuff, you're an accountant by profession originally?
Reluctantly, yes.
and you've lived on the Gold Coast for how long?
Roughly 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you love it here?
I'm here for 30 years. You don't stay where you don't like.
excellent. So what year did you get involved in domains approximately? Back in the...
When I considered it to be a business was about 2010, 2011, when I saw that it was a business opportunity per se.
Right.
As opposed to part of other functions.
Mm-hmm. And when did you first start buying on the expired auctions on the drops?
Around about that period.
Same time?
Yeah.
And so were you with Drop back then, or Domainator as it was back in those days?
I was post-domain agent. I've heard of domain agent, but I was post-domain agent.
Right.
When I started there was Drop, and they were... ruled the roost.
Yes.
Netfleet were a second at that stage, and that was it.
Yes. So the precursor to Drop was Drop was Domain 8, and then they became a Drop. But the one I was talking about before was Domain Central, which was the Nick Bolton Australian style.
That preceded me.
Yeah, okay. So you got involved in there and you started buying domains. And what would you say is the extent of your portfolio these days from when you first started and you're buying the first few, and then where are you at today? You don't have to give specific numbers, but just generally speaking, where are you at?
It's pretty contagious, isn't it, buying?
It is.
I've probably got a portfolio of well over 30,000 names today.
Fantastic.
And
the spread on those in terms of AU or GTLDs or comms or...
Yeah, they spread across various joint ventures and various business interests. Some are predominantly in comms, some are in AU only, net AU. If you looked at everything under my control, roughly, 75% Australian, 25% non-AU.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with the new GTLDs that are coming in these days, do you have any particular favourites with them, or have they gone out of favour with you, or what's the story?
What's gone out of favour is the high pricing on registrations. Even the .Melbourne and the .Sydney you know, quite average names are very highly priced for registration purposes. So what's tended to happen with the GTLDs is that the registrars have decided to cut out any opportunity for middlemen in the way they're priced. So when you do find a relevant GTLD that is available for hand registration, and by hand registration, you know, I consider anything under $50 non-premium, if you know what I mean.
I do.
Yeah, I definitely have a look at it, but they really have to be, they have to be relevant and functional and make sense.
Yep.
The other thing is that, you know, they really are a long-term play. You know, if you talk to or listen to the older domainers in the dot-com space, the doyens,
yes,
of the industry, they started out with this long-term view, and I think that's what has to happen with GTLDs. If the American market and the European markets are talking about a long-term window, then Australia, you know, historically being well behind, and areas in Australia even further behind again, country regional areas in Australia, we are talking a very long time before they gain market relevance and market acceptance in Australia.
I agree, absolutely. And just to finally dot the I on that one is what do you think of dot Melbourne, dot Sydney?
I'll go to the GTLDs generally. The registrars are lazy. They will not market their product. You know? How is the man on the street supposed to know he can register dot Melbourne or dot Sydney?
I understand that they've been giving it a good bash sort of earlier this year, but it just it wasn't taken up by enough people, and so it's been wound back a little bit now.
Oh, I mustn't watch enough TV or something, because I didn't, or radio, because I didn't think, I haven't seen it marketed at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So getting back to the business of being a domain investor, you buy and you obviously sell. I mean, because you've got a lot of domains and you can't just keep paying renewals. You have to sell some along the way. What's the thrill like of selling a domain? I mean, you I've had a look at your operation here, and I see you've got two huge computer screens, and I know you do your lists and all sorts of things, but and you also deal a lot overseas. Tell us how you sell your domains. I mean, on various marketplaces, what do you use? Imagine this is a new domainer that's coming in, or a slightly less experienced domainer. I'd love to know how you do it.
Okay. Well, I think go back to the buy is important, because every purchase of a domain, every one of my domains, I consider to be a business opportunity. And that's why I register it or buy it, because I consider it to be a business opportunity. A sale of a domain usually aligns with that first initial impulse to buy and matches that purpose. So there's always a remorse with a good sale.
Yes.
Why haven't I got the time? Why haven't I got the skill sets to be able to do this properly? You know, why do I have to pass up this opportunity? So you balance that against, great, someone's going to do the right thing with this. With other sales where you feel that you're not getting value for the domain, it's usually because it's not using the domain to its full potential.
Yes.
So selling is not my absolute priority. It's a necessity at times. But the thrill comes from knowing a domain has been sold for best use. That's the thrill for me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Excellent. So describe your average day as a domain investor.
Outlook. Yeah,
yep.
You spend your life in Outlook, and that's probably 80% of my day, and the other 20% in CRMs and Excel.
Right, so for the non-educated amongst us, CRMs being customer relationship
management. Yeah.
So what do you use?
I run through a very simple program called Soho CRM.
Right.
It has the ability to import leads, It has the ability to manually input leads. It has some macro functions yep. in terms of reminders, etc. But it comes back to having one central place. I don't think it matters what the program is, even if it is Excel.
Right.
It's a matter of having one central place, and that's one very important lesson I learned reasonably early. No, not reasonably early, probably too late in my involvement in the industry, was that you cannot rely upon registrars or sales platforms as your history. You must create your own history.
Yes.
Registrars, in one noted case, which I won't go into too much detail, I was basically advised it's your problem to look after your domains and make sure that they are, you know, in your account, even though you know you have bought them through us.
Is this AU Domains you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes. Yep. So okay. That was a rude shock to say that they abrogated any responsibility for putting the domain I acquired from them in my account. So that, you know, that meant I had to ensure that I had a decent
system in place
to keep my own records yes. and not to rely on those. And another lesson on the sales side was that I was involved with, I can't think of the name of the platform at the moment. Parking Spa was the parking platform, but it was a very good sales platform, come CRM, but the founder died and sold the parking platform and then closed down the marketplace.
Oh, I see, yes.
So all those old inquiries, etc., that were held in there just vanished one day.
Wow. Okay.
So two lessons. One is you've got to be responsible for keeping your own records in terms of leads, sales, inquiries.
Yes.
And you've got to keep your own records in terms of purchases.
Of your inventory?
Yep. There are products on the market to do all of that, but because of the AU nuances,
correct.
Particularly the inability to grab through who is acquisition expiry dates,
yes.
you can't rely upon those softwares. You've got to do it yourself.
Exactly. So do you use Excel?
Excel, it's the only thing that, you know, I have thought of spending the money on a database, and I believe that they are easy to run through Access, but, you know, there is a learning curve there, and, yes. You know, when you get to the volume I've got, that learning curve, you know, is not ours. It turns into weeks
exactly.
and months.
Well, look, you know, I'm on the same page as you. You know, I don't have as many domains as you, but I've still got thousands, and I use Excel. You know, that's I develop my list where I have everything on it. I have that stored in a number of places, you know, in case I cark it or, you know, it's in the cloud, it's everywhere. Everyone's got a list of it, but it basically, I take responsibility these days for my own domains. And, you know, like you, I've seen problems occur at registrars where domains accidentally don't get renewed or whatever. And so I always follow up on stuff like that. I'm absolutely pedantic when it comes to controlling my own list, etc. In terms of, you mentioned your Outlook, you spend 80% of your day on Outlook, etc. So you'd wake up in the morning, would you, because of the extent of your portfolio with overseas domains and Australian, would you wake up to quite a few offers on the screen, generally speaking?
It is amazing how we attract junk mail, you know, and it is also surprising how difficult it is to screen that junk mail. If you go too hard on it, you lose pertinent email.
Yes.
And if you're too soft on it, you don't filter enough. So the volume of junk mail is extreme. Yeah, the volume of junk mail is extreme. So, yeah, that's the worst part of the industry.
Yep.
Is the web developers, the just the junk mail. Just junk mail generally, I suppose, is it. So screening that is a horrible part of the day. You know,
no, but I understand
it's
that.
Necessary, and I haven't yet got a balance in being able to get it down to what I consider acceptable without actually risking the loss of pertinent
Inquiries. So, Greg, where do you park most of your... I mean, as most people would know that listen to me or read my blog, I'm a fabulous fan, and I park with them. Where do you park yours?
I predominantly use Parking Crew, only on the basis that I can control the inquiry screens. And with the inquiries, you can change the terms, the words within the inquiry, and you can change the direction of where it goes to. So you can send it off to send the inquiry to an aftermarket, to your own sales platform, to your own URL, wherever you want to. So I just found that flexibility there. But my parking these days is, you know, nowhere near what it was when I started out.
In terms
of revenue?
Yes.
So today my parking is more about stats.
Right.
And so I tend to put new domains with one platform where I know I get good stats and can trace the stats.
Yes.
And then move them across to a better paying parking platform.
I understand. Do you, on all your domains that you park, you have a for sale banner or an inquiry banner on them?
I do, and, you know, that could be looked at as being a evidence of a intent for sale at purchase. And, you know, I don't see that.
I don't see that either, no. And there's been many, and look, I've written about that. The wording in outer is that you don't purchase a domain for the sole, and there's big emphasis on the word sole, the sole purpose of resale. Yeah. And parking a domain. Look, Jo Libbins, even when she was in the position, she even wrote, she said that selling domains is permitted, you know.
It's, yeah. It's a permitted. Well, I just see that you need an easy way for people to make inquiries. The amount of business opportunity, as I say, every domain I own, I consider it is a business opportunity one way or another.
Exactly.
And what the sales banner does and the flexibility in the sales banner does is makes it easier for people to contact you.
Yes.
You know, why would anyone not make it easy for people to contact you?
No, I understand that. So when you negotiate a sale on a domain, are you basically doing it via email or do you sometimes get on the phone with people?
I'm not confident on the telephone. I'm an accountant, as you highlighted to start with. Our communication skills are generally not great. Our marketing skills are generally not great. So I tend to use email. But I have found that when I've wanted to increase sales volumes or when I've looked at a higher price domain, that you can't beat getting on the telephone and creating the dialogue. But a $100 inquiry for a $2,000-$3,000 domain, you know,
doesn't warrant a phone call.
Doesn't warrant a phone call. Doesn't warrant the abuse. If they're trying you on at $100 and know that it's worth $3,000, they'll get back to you, and then you'll create a dialogue at that stage.
So, do you have a standard template response or a series of template responses?
I do. That's why I use the CRM.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So that just click of the button, and you get.
I wish it was a click of a button, but it's a little bit more involved than that.
All right. Choosing which one to actually use to send to them and so on. Do you find that if you're negotiating a bigger one, that perhaps sometimes the tone in an email doesn't quite work sometimes, that you get on the phone and actually talk to people, you can actually get a deal done?
No, I tend to disagree with the mentality. I think... sorry, I'll retract that.
Yes.
Initial dealings, they want the domain. If they're prepared to pay a good price for a domain and they are from a company that is inquiring about the domain and wanting to put it to best use,
yes,
they're buyers. I'm not a seller, they're the buyer.
Right.
To create the dialogue in person helps complete the sale.
Yes.
And helps build that trust and confidence that they need. Because they're ponying up with some decent bucks.
Yes.
And they don't know me from a bar of salt. And the industry is not well known.
Yes.
So, yes, you must get on the telephone with a decent sale.
Yeah.
But is that for the purpose of sale? I don't believe so. I think it's for the purpose of completing the transaction smoothly and successfully.
Exactly. No, I'm with you there. So, in terms of... And I've had a couple of new investors or new domainers, if you like, that have come into the market recently that I've been mentoring. And I always love, I enjoy mentoring new people that come in because I'm a great believer in a rising tide floats all boats. So what would be your advice if a domain investor was starting off today, fresh, brand new, in the AU market, nowhere else, they just wanted to be in the AU market, and they had a war chest of, say, $10,000, you know, to spend. What would you suggest they do? What would you suggest they buy?
All right. Well, firstly, I was one of those people who made contact with you, or I think you made contact with me when I became active in the marketplace. And yes, you did invest a lot of time. At that, I think you were well rewarded with some purchases I made. But I think it is a matter of anyone coming into the industry has to talk to incumbents and has to use the resources available. In Australia, that is Domainr. There's no one else publicly active.
Well, thank you for the plug, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, there's other issues like the Domain Sherpa, the DN Academy, there's DNW, Andrew Alderman's.
Mm-hmm. Excellent resource.
Resources.
Yeah.
You've got to be a sponge. You've got to soak in all of that information. In terms of investing, it's really a matter of having a strategy. I think my biggest mistake was that I had a very aggressive strategy.
Bull of the gate,
yeah. And it has cost me. If I had my time again, I think I would be very wealthy today.
Yes.
If I had the knowledge
that you have now.
That I have now, back then, things would be very, very different for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I said exactly the same thing to a new friend of mine just a few days ago, just saying, well, you know, you're leaping in where angels fear to tread, because, you know, he got onto the drops and he'd bought quite a few because he's got the bug, as we all get the bug sometimes. And I just said, you need to wind back a little bit, go slowly, just look what's selling. And the big thing I always say to people is, if you're going to buy something, you always have to ask yourself the question, how am I going to monetize this domain? And who is it going to be able to be sold to ultimately if I need to sell it? You know, and those are the two big questions. So why would you buy a domain for any other reason, just because it sounds good or whatever? And I think, you know, it's the old question of, you need to go a little bit slowly, but you need to buy good domains on the aftermarket. You're not going to get good domains, in my opinion, by hand registering them, because most of the good domains are gone. You know, you're going to find them on the aftermarket. Some on the drops, yes, but there's not that many on the drops that come that are excellent. But there's, you know, a lot of good aftermarket domains out there that are available at reasonable prices, in my opinion. And people have just got to look for those type of deals.
Sure, but I'll contradict that to a certain extent. I'm still hand registering domain names today. If I follow the sales history, you know, and follow the sales patterns through Andrew's top sales reports, or through the CEDO reports, or through the AfterNIC reports.
Now, I'll stop you there. I'm talking specifically about AU domains, and so yes, just, yep, if you're, yep, in that context, yep, too. Yep.
So you look at those, and then you have a look and say, well, without trademark infringement or anything else, is there an Australian equivalent to that?
Yes.
Or is there available domains in that genre here in Australia?
Yes.
And there are. They're still available. And this is what I can't understand about wanting new extensions. There are huge volumes of domains still available for registration.
Oh, no question.
But we've had domain names in Australia for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. I can't remember. You know, I don't know the exact. So if someone else has thought of it as being a great idea during that period, it's not going to be a thousands of dollar value sitting there waiting to be grabbed in terms of hand registration. But there will be hundreds of dollars worth of value.
So I can agree with you on that.
So that's where I'll contradict hand registrations. Mm. There is value there. And
how often would you hand register domains, though?
Daily.
Would you? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where you and I do part ways, because I much prefer to look at the established real estate that's out there, and there's some bargains. You know, as far as I'm concerned, there's bargains out there that the work's already been done on it. You know, that's established. But I take your point. I mean, occasionally I see a trend from overseas, and I think, wow, and I hand register that here. And I do it occasionally, but I'm not like you that does it every day. I would perhaps do it once or twice a month if I'm lucky.
Yeah. Well, the drops I consider to be virtually hand registrations anyway, you know, when you're doing minimum bids on them and picking them up.
Except if you're buying through Netfeed. I mean, they cost you
Well,
$50 for registration plus whatever. Anyway.
That's if you buy them through Netfeed.
Yes. No, understand?
Yeah.
Okay, so so getting back to a new domain investor, 10K in the bank, and don't rush in is one of your first things that you say. Soak it all in, get a bit of knowledge up, talk to people. Talk to people like you, like me, other people. Go on forums, get ideas.
Yeah, and I think you've got to have some skill in being able to do basic development. You've got to be able to. If you get a really good name and you're able to catch a really good name, you should be able to do something else with it. You know, you can't limit yourself just to sitting there and saying, I'm going to earn parking income from this.
Yes, exactly right.
You know, so if there's potential there to gain some affiliate income or whatever and expand, you know, that all that's doing is showing the value of the domain, is helping show the value in the domain. And if you've got an hour available or 2 hours available, if you're able to build a basic WordPress site that extenuates that value, you know, that's where I fail, is that I don't have those skills, and that's where I lack. You know, I wish I did. The fact is, I've got too many domains today to start again now. So for a new investor, I think you've got to be a little bit more, have a little bit more ingenuity in the way you portray the value of a domain name.
Yes, no, and look, I agree. And in fact, the couple of new people that have come into the market, I take my hat off to them, because I consider myself probably because of my advanced years and so on, but I'm a lazy domainer, you know, I'm not going to classify you as that, Greg, but I am a lazy domainer, and I just don't have the time or the inclination to go and do all those things that we should be doing. In fact, because of the number of domains I've got, I don't even do any outbound marketing anymore. You know, it's just, I just don't have the time. I only handle inbound inquiries. How do you feel about that?
Well, again, you know, I'm like you. I'm time poor, you know. But if we're talking about a new domainer, they've got the time.
They have.
They have got the time. And they will get the best value, you know. Domain volume-wise, they'll get a better return on investment than you and I will, if they are able to really explore every possible marketing opportunity. And I don't mean for sale. It may be for joint venture.
Yeah, absolutely. There are lots of opportunities like that. Yeah. And I think the important thing to remember is that, you know, you touched on it before, we've only got 3,070,000 approximately AU domains, of which 88% are .com.au domains. In the .com market, when I last looked, last quarter was 127 million. And it actually grew in the last quarter, very soon. It actually grew by over the amount of the domain names that we have in the AU space. It grew by over 3 million. So when they say we need to grow the market here in Australia, it always puzzles me to say, you know, we've only got 3 million domains. There's a lot of already growth. We don't need new extensions to grow the market. You know?
And the one thing that I look at and I've concentrated a lot on is that we tend to look at .com.au as the standard here in Australia. But there are a lot of Australian or Australian geo-centric domains that aren't registered in the .com. And if the trend towards looking at the right of the dot increases, those .coms become relevant here in Australia. And I, to be all honesty, would rather a .com than a .xyz or a ., you know, whatever. So, you know, while there's all those .coms registered, there are so many geocentric domain names in the .com space that aren't registered here in Australia because we've tended to favour the .com.au.
Yes.
So, you know, you talk about an AU coming up, you know, direct registration coming up in AU. That's going to actually increase, in my view, the attractiveness of .com to the Australian market.
Really? Okay. That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah. Simply because people will, what it will do is will train people to look, you know, to be more conscious of the right of the dot.
I still think to myself that, you know, unless it's Sydney or Melbourne, I mean, I'd rather have any day, I'd rather have sydney.com than sydney.com.au. I mean, I'd love them both. But, you know, for an international stage, I think, you know, certainly sydney.com would be far more valuable. But for smaller centres like, for instance, I mean, I've got Bowral. You know, Southern Highlands, very popular, trendy place for people to get away from Sydney. I've got bowral.com.au. And I've also got Bowral.com. Yeah. It's one of the few that I've got that I've had. I have never, ever, in the 5 years that I've had it, had an offer on the Bowral.com. But I've probably had over a dozen on the com.au. So it's quite an amazing one. And so that's, I think, the difference with the small sort of regional centres.
Sure, but that's the evolution that I see happening. Yes. You know, I don't think we're going to stop the GTLD movement. You know, it's going to be slower than what everyone wanted. But... You know, I believe that the familiarity in the marketplace with being conscious of right of the dot opens up all those opportunities.
Yes.
You know, there are so many extensions out there like .biz and .info that are relevant. They have relevance, you know, more than what some of the obscure names that are coming out.
So, Greg, just casting your mind now to the regulatory system we have with AU domains here and all the rules, regulations, policies, complaints, everything that we as domainers have to deal with on a daily basis. Good domainers like me obviously never suffer from that, and you too, Greg, I'm sure. But looking forward, what would be your recommendations if you had the ability to say to management and the board at Outer, what would be some of your recommendations for the AU space moving forward from here?
We've made it extremely complicated. You know, we've got a situation at the moment where we have international registrars moving into the Australian market. We have a company like Uni Registry entering the Australian market, making sure that their systems are developed to cater for the Australian market. However, we have the big incumbents like GoDaddy entering the Australian market. We have companies like Cedo in the UK handling AU domains, not being familiar with the nuances of com.au.
And particularly change of registrant.
Particularly change of registrant. So we have some unnecessary administration, some extremely unnecessary administration. We have the same UDRP functionalities as the rest of the world, but then we go and put in these crazy eligibility requirements over and above that.
Yes.
Why? Why do we have to be so dogmatic in the way that we go about things to the point where we create nothing but an administrative nightmare?
It would be good if it worked, but the only trouble with lots of rules like that is, has been evidenced over the past 3 to 6 months, is you get scammers that basically pinch someone's ABN just to register a domain, so they get around it that way anyway. So,
well, what benefit does it gain? You know, if .com and the way .com works doesn't work, the world would be in arms.
Exactly. Say no more, really. That's what it comes down to. Com works.
So 127 million domains.
Yes.
Their system works okay.
Yes.
But it's not good enough for our 3 million.
Exactly.
Tell me where common sense stops in that scenario.
No, that's a really good point. So, Greg, just moving forward to the future, where do you see yourself, particularly over in 2017? Are you going to be buying as many domains as you do today? Are you going to be consolidating?
I'm really looking for, you know, always, you know, my biggest aim is to get joint venture development opportunities out of the domain names, is to be able to partner with people who can work with me to get best use out of the domain names. And I am continually working in that area. They're the phone calls that I, you know, you ask what excites me in the industry.
Yes. Yep.
They're the phone calls that excite me day after day, is to try and develop up those, work with those opportunities for joint venturing. It's very hard, you know, you kiss a lot of frogs.
Yes.
I see that. I really believe that parking is going to become harder and harder. I also feel that there will be a substitute for parking at some point. And I'm looking forward to that. You know, I really believe that there is plenty of opportunity afoot to make better use of the domains,
yes,
that are parked currently. But really, until I can solve an income, you know, the income from domains as opposed to the income from selling domains, I've certainly scaled back my buying dramatically.
Right.
Mm.
Okay.
Because, you know, what's the point of buying a domain only to have to turn around and sell it for cash flow purposes?
What's your thoughts in terms of your pricing strategy these days on AU domains? Let me before you answer that question, let me give my two bobs worth on it. That good domains these days, I get a little bit remorseful sometimes myself when I sell a good domain. I think, why did I sell that so cheaply? And I'm never going to have that one again in my life. But I'm never greedy. But I still, that thought process goes through it. And these days, I've increased my base levels on pricing to reflect the scarcity of good domains.
Well, I'm an accountant, so I'll go back. You know, I play with numbers. I play with numbers a lot. I originally bought long keyword-rich domains. Based very much on what Rosner put out later, you know, only a couple of years ago, as the Rosner equation.
Yes.
And I really felt that that was a way of looking at a lot the value of a lot of non-brandable names. And I still believe today that that it should be a large determinant of the value of a domain, is what is its potential. But it's the potential at best use. And if we had to hold out for the best buyer of our domains all the time, then we wouldn't sell any. Mm. So a lot of domains are sold well under value, miles under value.
You're talking about your own domains that you're selling under
generally
value?
I think my domains, I think everyone sells their domains
under value
to a certain extent, because we're not finding the best use buyer. But that, you know, that's the way of the world. So are domains undervalued or underpriced? I believe yes, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it.
Okay.
And that's because we do not have an efficient aftermarket. People, you know, cannot go to look for a domain in an aftermarket and have confidence in that aftermarket, know that aftermarket exists, and select a name that they really want.
Predominantly, we're talking here AU domains again. There's not a good aftermarket in Australia. I mean, Netflix...
it's not even a good market in the AUs. You know, it's only when you get into places like GoDaddy you go to register a name, and they say, look, it's registered, but we might be able to get it for you.
Exactly, yes.
And we don't have that equivalence here in Australia. To get those registrars in Australia to say, look, it's not available, go and have a look at this other site, is not really going to work to their benefit, because they don't want to pass off a client.
They won't get a feed.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's got to be some way that people understand there is a secondary market in Australia. But what we have to be in a position to be able to do is to market those domains without fear of being
pinged
by outer for buying for sole purpose of selling, when in fact, as I say, that's, you know, every domain is bought with a purpose. Whether you get time or opportunity to meet that purpose,
yep,
is not there. But you definitely won't have the opportunity if you don't have it, if you don't buy it to start with.
No, I understand. Yeah.
So until we get an efficient aftermarket, the prices aren't going to reflect true values, in my view.
Well, just as a final point on that, I agree with you totally. But one of the things that I've been exploring this year is offering terms on domains. And I've found that my end price that I've been getting has been substantially more, provided you're able to offer people a method to buy a domain easily on terms that they feel is safe and that they have the ability to use the domain from day one, then they're inclined to pay more for it. And I think that's the secret of, I mean, everyone does it in every other industry. People offer terms, you know, you buy this, you know, pay it off over 3 years, etc. So I think that's what I'm finding. And there should be great if there was, I mean, most people that I deal with trust me and they do the deal through me. But, you know, if you could have an escrow system here in Australia that catered for that sort of thing, if you had a straight platform where you can say, come and buy this, we'll, you know, hold the domain and we'll pay the seller of the domain X amount of dollars per month over 12 months. And when you finally paid it, you get the domain changed over to your name. And if you don't pay along the way, well, you lose the domain and the seller gets to keep all the money. I think that's something that's really would be welcome here in Australia.
Well, I have no less than about 20 domains. You know, letter number 3 in my CRM is, okay, you haven't got back to me, maybe you can't afford it. Maybe you can afford it if you pay for it on instalments. So I'm running them myself.
I run
no less than about 20 different instalment sale agreements at any point in time. They're clumsy.
Yes.
They create more administration than they need to. I do understand that escrow have bought Escrow Angel here in Australia. Escrow.com do have an efficient system.
Well, when I spoke to Matt Barry at NamesCon in January this year, so that's 11 months ago, he said that escrow was going to be offered for in Australia in Australian dollars this year. And he said it was probably going to be around about June, July. So they've obviously slipped beyond that, but he did say it's definitely going to be happening here. So if they did do that, I think that's going to be a great Philip for AU domains.
I wouldn't hold your breath. I did a sale through escrow.com the other week, and because it was a UK buyer,
yes,
he kept on talking to me in euros, so I put the transaction through escrow in euros, but then he wasn't able to pay by credit card in euros. They didn't have the functionality to do that. They had to be paid by wire. So right. If they can't sort out the POMs, yeah,
exactly.
I don't ask poor Aussie Stan.
did you lose that sale? Or did you
no, it ended up going through, okay. But you know, it was a 6-week transaction. You know, when it should be, you know, virtually straight away.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, time differences and the fact that the guy was busy and you know, it wasn't a high priority sale from either point of view.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't was a bunch of 20 odd domains at couple hundred a pop, so it wasn't something that was absolute high priority for either of us.
Yeah, understand.
But the fact that they couldn't accept credit card payment in euro,
yeah,
was the biggest hold up. You know, the guy physically had to go to the bank and do a wire transfer.
Understand. Mm. So just getting back to you as a domainer here in Australia, is any particular sales that you've made that come to mind that have been favourites of yours that you've made, particular domains? You don't necessarily have to say how much you sold them for or whatever, but any particular good sales that...
Oh, yeah, I've sold a couple to Fairfax that are up and running. You know, one is a daily blog. I can't remember. It was something today or Daily Life or something like that. You know, it's always nice to see you develop domains on the TV screen.
Yep.
Mailman, even though they're not using Officeworks.
I saw Mailman this morning when I popped into Officeworks. And I saw the little thing there and I thought, Mailman. I remember Greg's got that domain already, that he sold that domain, yeah.
Yeah, but they're not actually using that URL. I don't even think it's redirecting it. They're using a sub-URL and putting it on the TV screen.
Yes.
When in fact they could just do a redirection and use the proper domain.
Yeah, indeed. So Incom.au, would those be two of your biggest sales that you made?
Not necessarily biggest, but as I say, the ones that excite me, I get back to sales for best use.
Yes, understand.
You know, I've got Postman at the moment. You know, I sit there and look at Mailman and think, oh, what the hell could you do with Postman?
Yes.
There are so many domains that excite you. when you look at your portfolio.
Understand. Yeah, yeah. No, excellent. So, Greg, it's been great talking with you. Thank you for that. I always enjoy, and for my listeners, Greg and I probably chat on the phone two or three times a week. Either he's having a word with me or I'm having a word with him, and we share anecdotes and stuff. So I would recommend to anyone out there that if you need a buddy, you should always have a buddy in this business. You should always have somebody that you can talk to and just bounce ideas off. I think that's important. Would you agree, Greg?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the time we spend on the phone, you know, a lot of it's bullshit.
Yes.
But when we separate the bullshit from the reality, we exchange a lot of information.
It is, and sometimes it's a reality check because we can have the blinkers on a particular way.
Yeah, well, there are two things that you're commonly saying. One is put out that bloody cigarette.
Yes.
And the other one is stop falling in love with your domain names.
Exactly. I do say that to you, Greg. I say both things to you. Anyway, lovely to chat, and thank you for the time, and I hope listeners enjoy this interview.
Thank you.